Welcome to the Fit Life Podcast. I'm your host, Kurt Salquist, here at Core Fit Inc. We are getting ready to dive into my 101 of how to train for an obstacle course race. If you've never done one of these races, I hope you do one day. They are the most exciting thing out there that I've participated in when it comes to bringing in so many different elements of fitness in one place. You've got to be able to run, you've got to be able to lift, you've got to be able to climb. That's what makes training for these races so exciting and dynamic, and really helps people do something adventurous. You know, whether you're 40 years old and you're thinking about jumping in here, 50 years old, we have 60-year-old athletes that train at CoreFit that are doing these races, 60-plus year olds, as well as teenagers getting into this. So it's a great sport. I've got my kids, oldest one just turned 6. Those guys are doing our race here in Spokane, Washington, called the Ultimate Fitness Run. That'll be open June 15th. So that's coming up. If you're local in the Pacific Northwest, I hope you check that out. We'll have links in the show note for that race, as well as our program here we offer at CoreFit. And just a few weeks from now, we are starting our 8 weeks out program for the Seattle Spartan Race, and our 10-week out program will launch at the same time for the Montana Beast and Sprint Race in May 4th, I believe, for that race. We will help prepare you and get you ready. We'll give you the running program to get you going. We'll surround you with the people that will motivate you to do the work that will be required to prepare you for this race. We're also going to have the obstacles right here at CoreFit for you to practice and train with. So you'll be able to go through a program like that and learn the techniques, practice the elements, the strength you need to build, and know that you have the endurance to get ready and go through that program with our members that have gone through hundreds of races between everybody, if we add them all up on their belts right now. So this is going to be an exciting program. I hope you guys check that out and you listen here and get some notes that you'll be able to apply for your next OCR race, whether it'll be your 10th race or your first race. Let's dive in. Hey guys, so I'm excited for today's episode. I'm flying solo again, and we're going to be talking about OCR, obstacle course racing. So I know a lot of you guys have something like this in your town, whether it's a more local promoter or one of these smaller races trying to make it big. You've got also your big dogs out there that most people know about, the Spartan Race, the Tough Mudder, if you're here in Spokane, the Ultimate Fitness Run. And these races bring a multitude of challenges. So we're going to be talking today about how do you prepare for your first or your best OCR race if you've done these before. Obstacle course racing, as I was mentioning, has multiple challenges. Not only do you need to be able to cover a particular distance, so some of these races could be as short as 3 miles. Some of these races are even 1 mile stretches. And we're really talking today primarily about getting through your middle distance races. Anything over 5 to 10 miles, or even a little further out than that, like your Beast with the Spartan Race, or the Tough Mudder has the longer race too, that's around a half marathon distance, similar to the Beast and the Spartan Race. So to prepare for these races, you need to be ready to cover the type of terrain you're going to be on. So you got to think, is this a hilly place or is it flat? You need to make sure your terrain is going to reflect that. We'll talk about that today. And you also need to be strong. You need to be able to get through these obstacles that they're putting out there that are going to involve some kind of a weight challenge. The Spartan Race has a 400-pound Yokohama tire that you have to flip. For the girls, it's 200 pounds. I think they messed up a little bit there. Their weight ratios are a little bit off. The girls don't seem to find that tire so challenging, but the guys, a lot of times, especially our elite runners that are great at running because they're lighter, compact, small, fast person that has a lot of primarily slow twitch muscle fibers, they're struggling with these heavier weights. I'd love to see Spartans step up their game and bring more obstacles out there that are truly going to find that ultimate fit athlete that not only has the ability to cover this type of ground, but tackle these strength elements. That's definitely the hardest strength element Spartan has right now. And then, of course, on the other side of that, and Tough Mudder does a great job with this, offering a lot of challenging grip obstacles where you're going across some type of a rig. Think of like the monkey bars back on the playground. You're swinging across monkey bars, but in these instances for these races, they're making it more exciting. Spartan has something called the Twister that's actually rotating as you grab onto it. And it's their monkey bars that they have are also at different heights. So you're swinging up, you're swinging down. Sometimes you got to be able to really stretch out your body. It definitely makes it harder for our smaller athletes. And then you have like the Funky Monkey Tough Mudder has, where you've got like a wagon wheel you're grabbing onto that's rotating around. And you've got all types of different handles that you're holding on to, different angles you're holding on to, type of barrels that are rolling actually that you're trying to hang on to. I really love these challenges. They're fun, they're exciting, and they're really different. I will say as a tip right now, one of the best things you can do to prepare for these types of events is find a training center that has these types of obstacles for you to get onto and actually experience firsthand. No matter how strong you are, you're never going to be as fully prepared as once you know what to expect, when you know what it feels like to have that gravity throwing you around when that wheel is rolling or you're hanging on to the twister and it pulls left or pulls right. You need to be ready for that because there's also lots of ways you can tackle these. I'm going to refer a lot to our Instagram page and our YouTube page where I've got a lot of videos. In fact, last year we did the Montana Beast, where we probably filmed over 20 obstacles going through this in the Spartan race that I took the time to stop and actually film technique going through these obstacles. So at any point that you guys want to go and see these obstacles and hear a demonstration, see visual on one way to get through these obstacles and points to keep in mind as you approach these obstacles, check out our YouTube page. It's youtube.com/SpokaneTrainer. You can also find our YouTube page at corefitinc.com. Scroll through our page at the very bottom. You're going to have a link to the YouTube, a link to our Facebook page. You see a lot of cool things about our gym, pictures of our facility, obstacles here, and our Instagram page, where you've got a lot of videos covering a whole myriad of obstacles, nutrition tips, and a lot of training tips. Actually, I'm in the midst of putting together a new packet for our members. It'll be free for core fitters. Those of you guys out there that want to get a piece of this, though, get a hold of me. It'll be pretty inexpensive, where I'm compiling just a data bank of exercises that you can do that are going to be grip specific to help you prepare for these types of things. Because overall, where you're looking at spending, you know, like $10 to get some training tips, or you're going to be doing 30, 60, maybe 90 burpees, because there's at least 3 hanging obstacles you can expect at every race. And it's more than that. You've got the rope climb too. And then we're seeing some new stuff come out there. They've got some ladder things they've experimented with. I'm excited for these new obstacles, though. We've seen a couple posts, and that's great. Spartan's getting out there and finally doing this. They've been a little stagnant on their creativity, bringing new stuff to their races, especially just across the country. They've had a few experimental training grounds for them. But we need to see that stuff here on the West Coast too, guys, if we want to keep people excited about these races. So what we try and do for the Ultimate Fitness Run. Every year we give it a different look, a different feel. So, you know, it's going to feel very familiar to what you're used to, but yet the challenge is going to be different. The obstacles are going to be something new for you to try, or a new way to get through this. You know, I mean, there's more than one way to skin a cat, as they say. So there's definitely more than one way to put a sandbag in somebody's arms and give them a challenge and something to do with it. Last year, we had our sandbag toss over the shoulder. We had our sandbag ruck. We've got some new things coming for that race, and actually new formats too for the Ultimate Fitness Run, making it exciting with the multiple distance challenges in the same day. Again, with the Ultimate Fitness Race, we're really trying to do what I'd love to see the Spartan Race and Tough Mudder continue to pursue, is find those best, well-rounded human beings. That's what's inspired what we do here at CoreFit. We're looking for the athletes that are, or we're trying to build the athlete, sorry, the person. You know, most of the people that come here work at a desk job. They work most of their day at a sedentary job. And they're not athletes when they walk in here. They don't have prior experience. But through strength training, through endurance training, through the fun, exciting exercises we could incorporate as we prepare people for obstacle course races, even our boxing conditioning classes. We keep things exciting and different, and we create a person that's well-rounded, a person that can go the distance of these races and can get by and swing across some of those rigs and pick up those heavier weights and carry them or drag them or flip them or whatever the challenge may be. You're prepared for that, and that's what I love to see these races be, is just more well-rounded. I love the distance they offer, the three different distances Spartan Race offers. There's a couple different from Tough Mudder. We've got our different distances now in the Ultimate Fitness Run, but also the variety of challenges that don't just cater to the light, tall, long person. You also need to be short, compact, and strong. So obviously you're gonna have to give and take for your body type. I know a lot of our short athletes struggle on those monkey bars that we have to really stretch out for, but they should have their advantage somewhere else when they're picking up and carrying something. They don't have to bring it up as far off the ground. They have a shorter lever system, maybe a little more compact, a little more muscular. That's gonna help them get by this point, but yet that might hurt them when it comes to climbing over that hill. So all those myriads of keeping things balanced, this all reflects what our training needs to be. You need to look at what kind of athlete you are when you're preparing for these races. What kind of background do you have going into this? Are you already strong? Are you already a good runner? You know, odds are low that you've got both of those things going for you really well. You have that grip challenge, that grip strength it's going to take to swing across these types of things after you've covered 10 plus miles in the cold, maybe. How are your hands going to be affected by the cold? Are you training for this? That's why we always try and run outdoors throughout the year. We have our running group that very rarely commits to or takes an off day from the outside and trains inside. So we get out there year round and we experience all types of weathers, whether it's 100 degrees or whether it's 20 degrees. We're out in that cold, and we've definitely ran in some single digits before, plenty of times actually. Rain, snow, it doesn't matter. It's the elements, guys. When there was a time when you didn't have a car, a house, you weren't always dry, you weren't always comfortable. So it's great to put yourself out there. And actually, I'm following some great information coming from Harvard, anti-aging, and talking how important it is to activate our body's defense mechanisms to basically, when you're a little bit hungry, this happens. When you're experiencing extreme temperatures, cold, heat, you get something called a heat shock or cold shock protein being released. Saunas, cryogenic chambers, shout out to Spokane Cryogenic Center in the valley there. You've got these mechanisms that activate that are defense mechanisms that boost your immune system, that protect your body, protect you on a cellular level, that actually can slow down or even reverse aging processes. So a lot of new exciting information coming out that you guys can continue to take advantage of those benefits. So in your training, by pushing your body in a course, allowing it the adequate time to recover. So back on track, what kind of person are you? Where are your strengths and your weaknesses? Not until you can look at and recognize the fact that, hey, you know, I'm not such a great runner. Hey, I'm not as strong as I need to be. Will you be able to start dedicating the energy and time to improve those types of things? So number one, figure out where are you on the spectrum? Where do you fall? Where do you land? Are you already an endurance athlete? Are you already a strength athlete? Are you somewhere in the middle? Are you none of the above? Let's take a look at the person that's none of the above. You're new to this stuff and you want to get into this. So where do you start? You want to start very slowly. You want to start by, you're in a position right now where your body is going to be able to make gains in all aspects if you're not training. You're going to be able to get out there and you're going to be able to start running and you're going to be able to start lifting and you're going to find improvements across the board relatively easily if you have the right direction. If you have someone guiding you through these routines and helping you get through a balance of your workouts, you should do great when it comes to putting the multitude of a little bit of running. Doesn't have to be extreme. I like to start people out, even, you know, someone totally brand new to this stuff, maybe you're carrying a little bit more weight than where your body would be optimal at. We do something as easy as a 30-second jog, and we follow that up by a 1-minute walk, and we repeat that. We go through maybe 10 sets on day one. On day 3. So same thing in day 2, maybe we're going to do a little bit more strength training or take an off day depending on this person. Day 3, we're back out there on our feet again, and we're going to just repeat this easy run right now and go through that 2 to 3 times week 1. Week 2, we're going to look to expand on one of those runs where maybe our run time, if we're ready for it, we're going to bump up our run time to 45 seconds. Or we can play with the other side of it. We're going to decrease the time we were walking. Some of you guys might need to walk for 90 seconds to recover. So we want to be able to run at the same speed each time we go out there. And we do these 30-second intervals, the same, approximately cover the same amount of ground, and do this throughout the workout. It's okay at towards the end of the workout, we're going to find our heart rates not getting back down to where it was when we started or after the first couple of intervals. That's normal. That's where we need to be if we're going to elicit some type of response. These workouts should be feeling harder as you get towards the end of them. That's showing that your body's getting to that stress state. It's beginning to be pushed, and your body's going to need to adapt to these things. So we have a couple free running packets that we send out to our members here. I'd be happy to send out to those of you guys listening to this Fit Life podcast. So just send me an email, kurt@corefitinc.com. If you're interested in some more running tips, I'll send you a very easy, basic running packet. This is also something that can easily be found out there. It's something just to get your body moving for those of you guys that are getting started. Those of you guys that are already runners, it's going to need to be perhaps a little bit more complex than that, right? We're going to really start thinking about heart rate zones. As if you're already running, you're already doing these types of things, in order to see continued gains, we've got to begin to get a little smarter with our approach and start to push our body in ways that we might not be on our regular training. What's going to be new? What's going to be a different stimulus for your body to start eliciting these types of responses and adaptations that our body can do for our training? So again, send me an email. I can maybe help kind of give you some direction on where you need to look at next. But a lot of heart rate training is a good place to start your Google searches at, or send me that email and we can get you going more directly. Now, for those of you guys that want to work on this grip stuff or your strength, that's going to be a super important part. If you're already a runner, and a lot of people that start these races, you know, maybe 25%, 30% are definitely already runners, but yet you're not doing the strength training. You need to be ready to prepare and train your sparring strength. So not only does this can start with some very simple, basic, you know, powerlifting type movements would be a great place to start implementing when you got plenty of time to get ready for this race. Your squats, your deadlifts, some weightlifting like power cleans. Probably don't need to do snatches, but it would be great exercise. We do them here. I think teaches athleticism really well and keeps that shoulder mobility, which will help with that overhang, that hanging type obstacles. So we need to be able to get that shoulder overhead. And that's another element to this, is make sure you have the mobility to swing. If your shoulder can't go over your head very easily, how are you going to be swinging and reaching and grabbing and swinging and reaching from ring to ring to ring or bar to bar? You need to have that. You need to make sure your body's ready to take and handle that kind of stability needed at the joint so you don't get hurt for this. So again, multifaceted. That's what makes these sparring races so fun. Your training's never monotone. You're not just running every day. You're lifting, you're running, you're swinging, you're doing different types of mobility and recovery exercises. Very dynamic and very diverse. That's what makes this so exciting again. And again, go to our webpage and check out those videos on our YouTube page and see what kind of stuff you can incorporate here. So going back to our specific strength training, I'd start out with that foundation of power lift, strength. And then we need to start evolving more specific Spartan strength, getting those bucket carries, getting sandbag carries, getting different types of odd grip carries. I've got a lot of great videos in our grip packet coming out. It's going to have excellent demonstrations of a multitude of ways of doing this. Something you can do at home right now, though, get a baggie, a big gallon baggie. You might have to get a couple of them together, or even better, get a couple heavy-duty trash bags. Fill them up with some sand, and not very full. I'm talking maybe 10 pounds worth of sand here, which is, you know, about a gallon size worth of baggie. And I just want you to fill them up so they're nice and tight, and you got to grab into them. I don't want any slack. I don't want you holding the bag itself. If we get a little heavier bag, that's another type of grip training we do. But I want you to hold this kind of fat, weird grip. and get that squeezing in your fingertips and just practice carrying that around the block. Carry that a quarter mile, put it down, jog back around your block to your grips, pick up those sandbags and continue to carry the next quarter mile. And that's another great little interval style workout that we throw in here for our programming. So that's one odd grip type workout. But like I said, getting in those odd types of lifts, carries, and that type of strain for your body is gonna be really important. If your body and your back has never experienced a bucket carry, it is going to destroy you out there on that race. So specific adaptations to impose demands, the SED principle is very important here, that you are trying to train and practice Spartan. So with that said, you gotta think about that with your grip training, and the next part will be our obstacle training, getting out there and training some of these unique dynamic obstacles that require a certain degree of athleticism. Some people are going to be fortunate enough with their athletic abilities, they'll be able to hit the 8-foot wall and figure out a way to get over it. But they most likely won't be getting over that wall the most efficient way without the proper training. So once again, I'm going to refer you guys to our video where we went through the whole Montana beast and recorded all these technical or tougher obstacles to give you guys demonstrations. Save that energy. Don't just muscle up over a wall. And those of you guys that don't have that ability yet, or maybe the strength, or you're at a height disadvantage, whatever it may be, there's plenty of ways to help you achieve getting over that wall. So go to that page. There's also some other detailed wall training videos we filmed right here at our gym where we have the 8-foot wall. We actually got a couple of them for you to practice and learn and see how to go over that with that better technique. So learning that to save the energy and also to be able to do that, if that's not something that you think is going to be easy for yourself to do, not something that you just can muscle up over. Other obstacles out there, the Z wall. Oh man, that was my first 30 burpees in my very first race. I missed two things in my first Spartan race. It was the Z wall, I'll never forget it. I thought my foot was on the block, and what had actually probably happened is, you know, your shoes has a little indentation where your arch is, and I just probably barely had the corner of my shoe right there as on the block. And when I went to put pressure down on that foot, it was not on the block enough to hold me up. So I just went straight down, foot hit the ground, and that was it, 30 burpees. And boy, was I frustrated. So I never made that mistake again. Fortunately, knock on wood, take your time with that obstacle, going 5 seconds, even 10 seconds slower, or even much slower than that. We usually probably won't be necessary though, is well worth it versus taking the 1 to 3 minutes it might take you to go through your 30 burpees. So on the Z wall though, really it's a chess game. You gotta be two moves ahead. You gotta know where your foot's gonna be, and there's a little tip and trick mentioned in our video here, where you wanna start on that Z wall, which one you wanna pick. So you're going to set yourself up for the perfect opportunity to be able to take a rest in the midst of that Z wall before you finish your last turn, if you're fatigued and tired, because sometimes gripping down on those blocks with your fingers is gonna be a lot, especially if the race director has been creative and maybe put a few different grip orientated exercises right in front of that Z wall. And usually you can count on some mud or something to make it a little bit more slippery. So you're having to grip or be a little bit more detail focus with where you're placing your feet on those blocks and how you're doing that. But get creative with how your body moves through that. A lot of people like to cross train with a little bit of mountain climbing here, where you're going into some type of indoor mountain climbing park where we got a great one here in town called Wild Walls. Shout out to them. They've got a great bouldering wall where you don't have to get harnessed in. It's something you can do on your own, and you can practice moving around there and just sit there and watch those guys figure out a way to get through the route they're trying to achieve. They're not gonna just move flat against the wall with their right leg on their right side, their left leg on their left side, right arm, right side, left arm. No, they're gonna cross over. They're gonna figure out weird ways to get their body in position to create pressure, push against one block, post against another block, and make that reach for the next grab they need to find hold. That's similar, you know, I've definitely been on some Z walls where I thought, you know, how does anybody shorter than myself gonna accomplish this? Because there's been some big reaches where you had to stretch out and get across. But a little creativity, it's very doable. I have found lately, Spartan's been doing more of those kind of Z walls that have the middle portion cut out. For whatever reason, I think they've been making them a little bit easier, or that version, there seems to be more blocks available there for you to get across. But regardless, learning those tips and tricks are going to make these obstacles much easier, and getting on there and experiencing them before you get to your race is going to save you. I'd never seen a Z-wall before I did that first one, and I know if I would have, I probably would have been a lot more familiar with what that feels like. There's another obstacle that really takes practice to be able to be more proficient at, and even then we see it change the course of a race often amongst the pros, and that's the spear throw. This is one I can't really describe too well what you want to do, but again, our videos are there at the race, taking your shot, taking your setup. You've got a string. One thing I'll tell you, you want to make sure that string is clear of your feet. It is already over the wall where it needs to be, so it's not going to get hooked on the fence, your foot, your leg, your arm. It's out of the way as you release that spear and the string is attached to it. It often will wrap up around someone's leg and stop the spear from ever even getting the opportunity to reach the target, your bale, and penetrate it. Also, how you throw it. A little tip I'll throw out there now for you guys. You want to keep your spear tip locked on your target, okay? As you pull back to throw and as you push the spear to throw, you do not want to rotate it like a football. This is not a cylinder, you know, this is not a ball in any nature. It is a spear more like an arrow. If you think about archery and you are shooting an arrow through the air, it needs to be pointing straight at its target the whole way through the process. As we pull the string back or pull our spear back, it is pointing at our target where we want it to go. So lock that on there. I kind of think about that laser on the side of the predator. He had that little laser mounted on his shoulder, and it's like my laser. I'm locking it on my target where I want to hit. So that really helps your footwork, something to practice a little bit. You know, if you're a stronger, you don't need a whole lot of steps. You might not need any, but a lot of people find, you know, if you're right-handed, maybe a right-left step can give you a little bit more boost, or even some people do a little bit more of a crow hop, but then you're putting more movement and creating more room for things to go wrong in that throwing process. So the least you can move is probably going to increase your accuracy there. Those are a few of the more technical obstacles, all things we have here at CoreFit. Your monkey bars too. I mean, that's got some technical components to it, especially the rig. It's fun when you get the rig and you've got ropes, you've got balls, you've got pipes. There's better ways to grip some of those things. Getting your, for example, the ball. A lot of times there's a good opportunity that you can actually grab the rope above the baseball itself. Most people see the ball and they think about grabbing that ball. And that's going to be much harder to hold on to, obviously, rather than grabbing right above the ball and grabbing the rope and letting the bottom of your hand rest on the ball as you move to the next obstacle you have to swing towards. Also, keeping your arms at a 90 degree angle as you're moving through some of these. Being able to pull yourself through is going to take the centrifugal force from the swing that you would have if your arms were straighter. So depending on the grip, depending on the obstacle, if it's metal, a lot of these races, they seem to be at times when there's rain or some kind of moisture in the air. Maybe there's been water in front of that element. And that metal pipe that you're going to be grabbing onto is wet. Well, a wet metal pipe is a slick pipe, which means you need to be that much more careful that you're going to be able to hold on to it as you either try and swing or move from it or grip onto it. So how you're approaching that needs to change with the weather, change with your conditions. There's something called the chicken wing, I believe I've heard it called, where you're actually going to wrap your elbows all the way around. So your arms, so the bar itself is actually going to be in the pit of your elbow rather than relying on just your hand. Now you have, you know, a foot and a half of forearm over that bar, not just your fingers wrapped around it. You have basically half of your arm wrapped around it and you can move across it that way. Even seen some people bring your feet up. I've heard mixed things about that. Number one, you're definitely making it muddy for all those behind you. So, you know, not the best thing. And two, that might even be illegal. It's not really clear out there in the rules. They can get some better clarification with some of these things. Would be great for the media stuff on Spartan side to really clarify what's legal and what's not as they're doing their posts. I'd love to see that there on their Instagram page or Facebook page. But going back to something I mentioned a couple minutes ago, the said principle, specific adaptation to impose demands. Earlier in the podcast, too, we talked about your run training. This typically, you got to consider which race are you going to. A lot of the races in our area tend to be very hilly. I know that's kind of a theme across most of these races. They even had a cool challenge last year, the Mountain Series, where you could specifically tackle and conquer the Mountain Series and win that prize that Spartan had offered. But with that said, that means your training on your feet needs to incorporate hill work. And it needs to incorporate trails. If your feet, a lot of these times with whichever race you're going to, even if it's a flat race, you might be running through sandy desert-like areas. If your feet are not used to that, cramping is going to happen. Not necessarily because you're dehydrated. Most of the time that cramping is happening because that muscle is completely fatigued from the work and strain that it's been put under. I would say you could probably experience something like this if you've never run, like, you know, some of us here in the Pacific Northwest, we run on pavement or trails, and then the snow hits. And all of a sudden, we're doing our same run that we might have set out for, a 5 mile run or so, in the snow. And you notice different parts of your legs burning, okay? So if you're imagining this now at a race intensity and maybe twice the duration, maybe it's 10 miles, maybe it's a beast and it's 15 miles, your feet are going to get to the point of not just burning, but cramping, shutting down, trying to force you to stop. So training for the elements is huge in that specific adaptation to impose demand principle. If you've got mountains to climb, you need to be putting in that elevation. Go through, a lot of people use Strava. You can Google your race, find the Strava data, figure out what kind of elevation these races have had the last couple of years, and get an idea of what you need to be working towards. As we go through our programming here, we're in our base building phase right now. So we're keeping the conditioning mostly flat at the time being, but we're also about 15 weeks out from Montana as I'm recording this. And in about the 12-week period, I believe, we start adding in our beginning phases of hill training. And that's going to really build up to, at the end point, we'll be covering a lot of elevation in the few weeks prior to our race to get our bodies ready to experience that and minimize or even eliminate all cramping from those that are going at a race pace. That's an accomplishment of its own, I think, to really go all out on a race like Montana and not cramp. So training is going to dictate where your body's at going into this, as well as, of course, your hydration and food leading up to these races. That's something you need to be training prior to your race. You don't just go out in your race and say, hey, I've got my goo packets, whatever it might be. And, you know, I've been training. I like to train fasted a lot for my runs. But I know when I'm getting up to my race, I need to start training for how I plan to race. So I'm going to make sure I implement the breakfast that I want to eat before my race and a similar time constraint before my race. I'm going to start using any type of recovery items on the race course, like the goo packets, whatever that food you're going to be able to pull out, grab, and eat. I want my body getting used to processing that, and I want to make sure that's going to work with my digestive system. If you've never taken something before and you go out there, you might experience some serious gut distress on the course. You do not want that to happen on your race and ruin your race day. You also want to make sure the products you're taking are going to be palatable. I had an experience of not using a product and breaking it out on the race and realizing I couldn't even get this thing out of the package. It was a almond butter type mixture, and it was so dry and gooed in there. I couldn't get the package open good enough to actually get that product out very well. And then it was super cakey in my mouth. So that was my mistake for not following that rule right there and utilizing something. Even though I ate it in my diet, I knew it would be okay and I'd had it in other forms, but I didn't try it out of this package. So experiment with that, run through those. Be ready, go through exactly what you want to wear, your shoes, your socks, train with that kind of stuff more and more, and try and get as specific and as close to your actual race is going to be as you approach those final few weeks. Out there in the beginning, it can be more generalized. We can just have fun with it. But then again, we need to get ready to dial in closer and closer and closer as we approach our race date. So we've got our own training packet for a Spartan race that prepares somebody for, I'd say roughly the average person with no training base, you'll be plenty ready to go through a super if you follow our Spartan race training program. That's something that's available for our listeners to purchase. Send me an email. I can give you some information about that. But basically, it's going to lay out a running program for a beginner to build into it. And it's also going to give you some customized sparring workouts that I designed that require just a few specific sparring tools you're going to need in your arsenal. That's something that you can, you know, pick up at Home Depot, a bucket, find some rocks, throw it in there. You know, you might use something like that. We talk about setting up the hay bale and the spear throws, so you can practice that. We've got a couple basically obstacle course style workouts that you can throw together, and they progress and they get harder and harder as you get closer to your race to get you more into, again, that specific race simulation. And it talks about all of these key points in greater detail we've discussed today. So that's available out there. Like I said, you can email me, Kurt, K-U-R-T, at corefitinc.com. And then we have a more detailed, specific race program we've got our members working on this year. I've guided people through the Quadfecta, 12 races in 1 year, the Ultra, and then probably by now, I'm sure we've got hundreds, literally hundreds of races under our belts here from our members. We've taken people through all over the country, West Coast to East Coast. So we love these things. We incorporate these things because we believe that it helps us live our fittest life. You got to have the endurance. You got to have the strength. You got to be well balanced. So I love seeing those challenges out there. I really hope sparring, maybe somebody out there passes this along or in the sparring world hears this and they start pushing them to bring those new challenges, those new obstacles for us. Love to see. I've heard a lot of debate about whether or not the burpee thing should really happen. I like it. I think the burpee thing needs to happen in some degree. I think it needs to be a blend though. We've got what Tough Mudder does. You can go through the Tough Mudder race, and if you have an obstacle, you have to go through it and you have to finish it in order to podium. Now, I like the concept that if we blend these together here, guys, we could go through that, and yes, you can repeat this multiple times, but if you cannot complete it, you can do your 30 burpees and still podium. So you give someone that option. Obviously, the burpee, the penalty, maybe doesn't always have to be 30 burpees. Maybe it needs to be variable because the penalty has to be greater than the time it takes to complete the obstacle or the energy it would have taken to complete the obstacle. But I like to see people complete those obstacles, and I think maybe there should be another badge that you get this to another degree if you're completing all obstacles and complete that race. Because we've seen that strategy happen now with our skinny elite runners. You guys are great, super fast runners, but you know that tire flip's gonna be too difficult for you, and you go straight into the burpees. I mean, is that really what we're trying to promote here, is just people that are great runners? Or again, do we want that ultimate fit athlete? We wanna be able to take that challenge head on and have to get through it to some degree, or again, the penalty is gonna outweigh. Because flipping that tire twice, I can tell you, it's probably about the same energy expenditure, or maybe even less, just slightly more than what those burpees are going to cost that great runner and someone that's really strong orientated towards their body weight but not towards a physical element. So anyways, that's just my little spiel there on what I hope to see progress here with the challenges on those races. Like I said, we try and implement that as much as we can in our own Ultimate Fitness race on Mount Spokane. It'll be June 15th this year. If you guys want a great race, we've had so many great reviews. I'll tell you, it takes a ton of my time, and I love putting it on, but I do not love the time it takes away from my own training and what I get to do here at CoreFit and do with our members and what we promote and all the fun things we do here. But because of the great reviews, I mean, when I get people telling me that they love this more than the other obstacle course races that they've been going to, it's like, I love it. I got to keep doing it. That's great feedback. Thanks for those of you guys who are doing that. Also love to hear what you guys don't like, of course, so we can improve those things and keep making just an awesome experience for everybody across the board. For our open competitors that just want to have fun, our competitive competitors that really want to test their limits and see how they stack up as the ultimate fit athlete, and then our kids race. Kids race has been great. We've got some great improvements and ideas for that one. Really going to make it highly visible for the adults and other racers there to cheer those kids on and promote. You know, we could have right here, maybe the Ultimate Fitness Run, this has been in the back of my mind, starts promoting or getting those kids involved, and we see our future athletes that are going to dominate this sport come and, you know, that would be just and a life achievement for myself if I knew that one of our kids that did the Ultimate Fitness Run every year was inspired and motivated and came out and became a world champion because they started here at the Ultimate Fitness Run. So anyways, if you guys want in some more information at that, ultimatefitnessrun.com. Thank you to all of our sponsors, corefitinc.com, Best Western Plus here in Spokane, Washington, just to name a couple right now. So that's it for today, guys. We'll follow up with a few podcasts with actually some of our new people training for their very first race, jumping right into the beast here in the near future. Some of our members that have done lots of races, we'll get an interview with them, talk about what they've done training-wise, what they've got in their sights, and plenty more awesome podcasts to come about more food, motivation, strength training, and all things involving living our best life, our fit life, right here, the Fit Life Podcast. Thanks, guys.